Somebody, something you don't know concerning your marriage that you need to know, God will expose it today in the name of Jesus. In fact, in Hosea chapter 4, verse 6, it's a popular scripture. Let's read one or two scriptures. And then we pick it from there. What does the Bible say? You can look at the screen. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. That is the verse I am looking up for. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me, seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God. I will also forget thy children. My emphasis here is lack of knowledge. Knowledge here is understanding, lack of understanding. And so Proverbs chapter 4 verse 7, Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 7, it says wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, it says get wisdom, and with all thy getting, what shall you get? Get understanding. That is where knowledge comes in. Praise the Lord. And I want you to note that the institution of marriage is instituted by God Himself. Marriage is instituted by God Himself. By the word of God. By His knowledge, His wisdom. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and verse 27. I'm talking to the man now. And God said, let us make man in our image. Amen. Listen, brother. God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. Brother, your qualification to pick a wife. I'm talking to the man now. And when I'm talking to the man, I want the woman to listen very well so that you will know who is qualified to be your husband. So while I'm talking to the man so that he will adjust himself, you too, you are getting knowledge so that you will know who to accept to be your husband. Number one is that man must be in the image of God. That man must be converted. That man must be a Christian. That man must have the fear of God. That man must be a son of God. If you marry a son of God, then you have God as your father-in-law. If you marry an unbeliever, one who has no fear of God, Satan will become your father-in-law. Amen. Number two, qualification. It's Genesis chapter 2 and verse 24. Therefore, amen, shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. So number two qualification is that man must be a man and not a bum boy. He must be a man and not a bum boy. If you marry a man that cannot do anything until his mother, his father, his brother, his senior sister consent to it, you are in trouble. He is not yet a man. He has not left father and mother. He is not yet independent. That is why I believe in courtship. Courtship is to establish these things I am saying. Confirm it first. Don't, Amen. Praise the Lord. Don't just go and marry for because you want to be with a man. Make them say you too, you get husband. Sometimes, amen, it is better to remain single for life than to marry certain kind of people. Go and mortgage your peace. So he must be a man. He must be a man. Take note of that verse 27 again. Genesis chapter 1. Take note of that verse 27 again. 26. Verse 26. Listen. He said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. And see. And let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. One qualification of a man is that he is a man of authority. He is in charge of affairs. He is not the one that can be easily influenced like wind, a reed that is blown by wind. Must be a man. A man is known for decision making, taking authority of situations. In the home, he must be a man of authority. A man of authority. I take note of a brother in our midst who has children. Very, very, how do I put it? They are too active. I don't know how to describe it. He has about 2-3 of them or so. Too active. In fact, two of them, too active. That is, you know, you leave them here, they will scatter everything around here. They are jumping. In fact, when they are around, the mother cannot rest. In fact, the mother receives stress because he's shouting from morning to night. Come on, sit down. Come on, this one. Hey, bring him down. Hey, this one. But I particularly took note on several occasions when the father is around and they want to misbehave, you just look at them. Hey. And they freeze. That's a man. That is a man. Amen. Another condition is chapter 2, Genesis, verse 15. You know this, you know there are men that have no authority. After they marry, it's the woman that think for them. It's the woman that decides for them. And the woman will even fight the man if the man does the contrary. When the woman is angry, the man will kneel down. Sorry, mommy, sorry, sorry, mommy, sorry. There is a brother that was doing that. Eh? Some of you know him. Eh? You know him now. Confirm now. You know him now. You saw it happen before your eye. He called his wife, mommy, sorry. Is that a man? Every man must have authority, but there is also foolish exercise of authority. Yes, sir. Authority is not to be commanding. Authority is not to be commanding. That is very, very foolish. Because I have seen it too. That some men are just, they look at the woman as a property in the house. That is not what I mean, that you should take charge of the woman. Before she does everything, she must take permission from you. Why did you do this? Why didn't you tell me first? You told me you are going to Ikeja. Why are you now at Apapa without telling me? And to you, that is authority. I want to go to my friend's birthday party. I never marry you. I want to go to my friend's. I will not be around. I will go to my friend's party. You didn't tell me there is a party coming up. What did you know about that party? Why didn't you tell me? No, you are not going. To you, you are exercising authority. It's not authority you exercise, you know. You are actually a senseless man. People in authority don't use authority like that. That is not authority. Just telling you now. Amen. Authority in this sense is leadership. It's leadership. Amen. It's leadership, that's all. Anyway, we'll come to that. Now, Genesis 2:15, where we are talking, the next point again, you look at, I'm talking to the man. Amen. What did he say? And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. The man you marry must walk. The man that is qualified to marry must have a job, must have something doing. The man you will marry is not a man that every day is telling you, I hope to do this, I am planning to do this, I hope to do this. You have no right to go and engage a woman when you have nothing doing. Any man that marries and hopes to feed on the wife, depend on the wife, he is not a man, no, according to the Bible. Any man that is marrying you for material gain, for what he will get from you, he is not coming to marry you, he is coming to marry what you have. Get a man that will marry you, not what you have. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. That's why you women too, when a man is coming close to you, it's very easy, very, very easy to know that he's not coming to marry you, but to marry what you have. It's very, very easy. Very easy to know. Instead of him to be giving you, he will be collecting from you, collecting from you, collecting from you, and they have a language. Are we not one? Are we not one again? Your property and my property now. When did we become one? When did we become one? We don't marry. Hey, at least help me now to establish. Help me now to establish. Now, me go help you to establish. I will help you on a condition fulfilled. That I am your wife. But remember, because you are not the one they are coming to marry, watch the attitude, when he cannot get what he's looking for from you. Amen. I'm telling you, women, listen, oh, don't marry a man that is telling you, I'm processing my visa. I'm going abroad. I'm going abroad. I'm planning to go abroad. And before you know what I say, you will end up being the one giving him money to help him to go there abroad. As if when you reach abroad, the money that they plug and for three. Immediately you land Europe, money will enter your pocket, left, right, in, out. Some of them go there and the next 8 years, book you down here for the next 8 years. You not come to Nigeria again. He's promising you that we never get document. I never get document. I never got document. You don't know, say the man don't marry for there with one Oyibo there. They enjoy themselves. You there here, they book you down. Whatever it is, amen. A man must walk. He must walk. And because the work will be much, that's why you have Genesis 2 verse 18. Genesis chapter 2 verse 18. And the Lord God said, it is no good that the man should be alone. This work that we are going to walk, he needs a helper. I will make him and a help meet for him. I will make him a help meet for him. He needs a helper. Because the work will be too much. And that is why he gave him a helper. Why does a man need helper? It's in Ecclesiastes chapter 4. From verse 9 to 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4. The reason is, when he said it is not good that the man be alone, is because two are better than one. Because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe to people like Sylvester. I'm not the one saying, it's the Bible. Samake, woe to you. Praise God. Who again? Who? No, so woe to you. If you had a wife, when they came to demolish your house, she will have helped you to pack load. You are carrying load all alone. No helper. I'm not the one that say it. Oh, the Bible says, whoa. If all the single brothers here, whoa. Woe to him that is alone. The reason is because when you fall, you have not another to help you up. Amen. Praise the Lord. In this period of economic stress, depression, a man needs a woman to also walk and support. You need a woman that will walk and support if the man finds it difficult. And to meet the needs of the family. Watch out for all these. Praise the Lord. She is to be your helper. Oh. Helper is helper. Oh. A helper. Oh. Amen. Okay. Because some people are marrying their wives as if they are employing and somebody to come and work for them. It's when you employ, listen, The dowry you paid, listen very well. The dowry you pay for a woman only removes the authority of the father over her and transfers that authority to you. Not only authority, throughout, the father has been the one taking care of her. You are now to collect that responsibility of taking care of her from the father. So when she comes, she is supposed to be your helper. And somebody who is to help you, you don't begin to make it look like an offense if she doesn't help you. She helps you when she is able to. She does whatever she is to do to help you when she is able to. When she's able. One of the areas men who qualify under these conditions I'm giving now that they expect help from is that the man is busy outside and expects the woman to take care of domestic affairs. So you don't begin to trouble the man when he's outside there. You are calling him, this is happening here. This is, so you divide his attention. So at least he gives you the money to cook and provide food. I mean, cook food for the family. Ensure everything at home is okay. Make the home comfortable so that when he comes back stressed, he comes to a comfortable home. And this comfortable home includes both physical, spiritual, and emotional comfort. Don't make that man to be afraid of coming home because he's coming to meet a woman that will add stress to the stress he has received outside. So, the helper is a helper that will help you emotionally, to be emotionally balanced, help you financially balanced, help you in everything at all, in counseling you, in advising you. Amen. Helping you to be at home. Those are the people. Amen. That is what a man is supposed to have as a helper. And that is why Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22, that is why he puts it that way. Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 22. He said, whoso findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtaineth favor of the Lord because of these advantages I'm talking about. But it's not every woman that is a wife material, as I turn to the women now. The man will watch out for a wife that is wife indeed. A woman must subject herself to the authority of the man. Remember, I said authority in this context is leadership, headship. And before you can work with a leader, it is because you have confidence in the leader. It's because you understand the vision of the leader. If you don't understand where he is going, his destiny, his passions, whatever he's pursuing, his ambitions, if you don't understand it, you will be clashing with him. And if he's actually a man, you risk being his wife, but also his enemy. An ambitious man wants somebody who will help him to achieve his ambition. And anybody that stands in his way to achieve what he wants to achieve becomes his enemy. There are men that live with women, but they are just there to be seen that they are married, that is my wife, but the woman becomes his enemy, is living with his enemy. He cannot share his vision because the woman has no confidence in him. The woman will not encourage him. The woman will discourage him. There are people that will not believe that a woman, every woman should understand, try to understand where that man is going to and help him to reach where he wants to reach. Praise God. Don't live like a neighbor. You are at home with your wife, then you cannot discuss an even phone call, business call that you want to talk business. If she's around, you say, I'll call you back later. Because the woman is going to hear, who did they talk to again? What do you want to do again? Because of the phone call. So you want to give the man that 10 million, Abi? You want to give her the 10 million, Abi? Hey, Emeka! So the man wants to give the 10 million, even if he's going to make a mistake, he already knows you, that you don't encourage him about what he wants to do. When you should be his best counselor, the approach you take has made you among those he will hide it from, in the interest of his own peace. May you not be that type of woman in the name of Jesus Christ. Anything the man is doing for a living, make the man look like a king, a successful man. Don't tell the man as he starts that he's a failure, you will not succeed. If that man eventually succeeds, you are in trouble. He will look at you that you are not part of his success. So you are not entitled to enjoy it. I'm telling you something now. I'm speaking. He said, with all that getting, get understanding. Get wisdom. I'm teaching you understanding now. And that begins at the stage of your courtship. Tell him, I'll be praying with you. I'll be praying with you over that decision. If he knows, praise God. There's a brother in this church that said that the greatest gift that God has given him is his wife. He said she is his prophet. He said every counsel that woman has given him has worked. So she is his counselor. He was telling me this. He's a man with children. And she's so prayerful. That is part of the things you help a busy man. You, the woman, be backing him up in prayer. And when you pray like that for him, God will be giving you direction. So he tells me, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. He was to have promotion exercise was going on in his office. And he knew the politics going on, he will never be part of it. The first person he tells is his wife. CEO, you know trouble is in too much. The head. See. He said, the wife said, don't worry. There's nothing our God cannot do. The wife entered fasting over that. Without the man even knowing. The next day, the man said, he was giving me this testimony in my office. He said, the woman came and said, honey, there is a woman that is in the hospital. She's a widow that had a surgery. They are looking for money. They have a balance of 200 and something thousand or so, 250,000. to pay to release her from the hospital. He said, the Lord said you should go and settle that bill. But I don't have the money. He said, you better look for the money and go and give. It is thus said the Lord. He told me, he said, knowing that each time she gives advice like that, or she gives thus said the Lord, something happens. He went and gave the money, and the woman was discharged from the hospital. Few days later, the promotion exercise came up. From his department, the policy for that year said nobody will be promoted to that level from that department. There's no slot for that department. Let them go to some other departments. All of a sudden, somebody said, yes, there is no slot there, but there is one person there for his sake. Let's give them one slot. Somebody he never knew that was observing him from far. And the whole organization were shocked when he was promoted. He brought the promotion letter to my office and showed to me. He said, now he's a director. Praise the Lord. By the helper that God gave him. He who findeth a wife. A wife material is a helper. It's a helper. Praise the Lord. I know a brother who is abroad who told me that because he believes he has a ministry, but he does not want open up Mammoth Work Ministry. He's a preacher. And because he doesn't want to compromise the word of God, he's looking for a wife that will be backing him up in prayers, and he can hand over his business to her to manage so that he can face the work of the ministry. He's looking for that. That is the woman he's looking for. He just told me that. Because he's looking for a wife. He's looking for a helper. Praise the Lord. There's a brother that married a woman. Amen. And the woman he traveled abroad somewhere to East Africa while the wife was here. Complete illiterate, but the wife is a graduate. And those of you who are graduates, women, and you get into relationship with a man who didn't go to school to the level you have gone, they are very difficult to handle. They suffer from an inferiority complex. A wife material will put away her qualifications and humble herself and make that man look like a king. If he speak bad grammar in public, don't say, yes, me, they stop the disgrace me. If he say what he say, you talk well. But then they laugh me, say, don't mind them. Did you not tell them? Don't mind them. Amen. Then Sabi speak, why they not get what you get? Encourage him. And don't say, why are you doing like this? A bushman. It's because you don't go to school. Every day you are reminding he's an illiterate. You are finished. This woman told me that he knew that is the man's complex, even his relations. So she was wise enough. She kept all her qualifications. With all her beauty and everything, kept it aside. We follow him to his shop. I stayed there and begin to learn the job with the man. To a stage that the man was confident, left everything here and said, no, let me go and stay out there. You stay at home here. And for years, the man was there. By the time the man came back, I wanted to know what was happening. She told me, she said, knowing who he is, when he tried to bring some suggestion, he's an illiterate man, he would think very crude. Their thinking is very crude. They're not rational. With understanding, the man came back and found that the woman had built a house, their own, a duplex, the same plot of land, built some other flats for tenants. The man faced frustration there and had to run back home. And when he came back, saw that the woman had taken care of the business to an extent that he had nothing to regret. That is what education will do to help the man. You have to balance up for his illiteracy, for his shortcoming. He needed a graduate to help him with his business acumen. Not to look down on the person. Praise the Lord. And one of the things is the character. We saw the story of the marriage of Rebecca in Genesis 24. You saw how, what is it that Eliezer was looking for? The woman that will qualify to be the wife of his master's son. Genesis chapter 24 from verse 10. If you read it up to verse 23, can we just read it? And the servant Eliezer took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, outside the city by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, this is the sign. Oh Lord, see his prayer. Oh Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down that pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And this will be the sign. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. What was he looking for? Was he looking for a woman that would be drawing water for Isaac? Was he looking for a water drawer? He was looking for character. Give me water. It will not be only you now. See, you have 10 camels. I will take my time and draw water. It's not tap the open, no. It's desert they are living, no. Very deep well. You drop the pitcher, that bag they used to fetch water, and draw 10 camels. Nothing on top. There is water reservoir. The camel will draw first and fill that place before he drink. 10 of them. To do that to somebody she didn't know. And it's an old man, so she was not looking for anything from him. And she was not doing it so that the man will take her to be his son's wife. It's just character. Some other people would have insulted him. And as soon as he prayed, finished, the Bible describes, it said, one fair virgin girl came, and immediately he said, the woman spoke that word for word. The young girl. And that is what qualified Rebecca today to be referred to among this agenda for God's salvation. That is how she became the wife of that great prince, Isaac. Character. This evening I asked a brother, I said, why are you not married yet? He said, I will soon marry. I said, but I thought you are in a relationship with a lady. He said, yes. He said, he decided to pause the relationship and step back a little and be sure of what he's observing. Olumide, you were there. You were hearing when the brother was telling me. I said, what happened? He said, the woman, when she's offended, the girl, young girl, church member, he said, will abuse him and abuse his generations. He said, and that is constantly done. So he said, he thought maybe he has problem. He said, because he will see that now she committed offense, now she offend them. And when he's trying to respond, she will turn the thing again against him. So he said, Abina, he get problem. Let him find out. Is this what he will keep at home? Is this what he'll be going through? The last statement he made, Olumide, he said, she talks too much. He said, he does not like women who talk too much. Because in talking too much, in the multitude of words, amen. What does the Bible say? Eh? They are wanted not, see. There is no way you talk too much, you will say things you should not talk. I say, it doesn't like a woman who talk too much. Because they talk too much, they are the ones that create problems for the husband in the neighborhood. Every day, the man, they go, their neighbor wife, their neighbor this, and they settle. He said, what happened? Your wife, he talk and say. Praise the Lord. Things that they should not talk, they will talk. Even if the thing that they are talking will create problem, they will still talk. Character. Praise the Lord. And these are some of the things that delay marriages of some sisters. Anywhere you go, they will say spirit. Yes. Every nature, there is a spirit behind it. There's a spirit behind a bad nature, and there's a spirit behind a good nature. And it is, amen. And the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. The spirit that pushes you to do things that give you problem, it will only succeed if you allow it. Every problem has a solution. That problem will continue only if, amen, you allow it to stay. There are some sicknesses that the science said there is no cure, like HIV. But do you know that one can live for the rest of your life with HIV virus by managing it well? You can contain that your character that disturbs you, that wants to destroy you. You can contain it. You can deal with it. The only reason, like I said, people who say they are addicted. I'm an addict to drug. You will continue to take that drug until the day you realize it is destroying your life. See? The day you discover it is destroying your life, you will not go for deliverance. You will deliver yourself. Unless you want to destroy yourself. For every daughter of God, there is a son of God somewhere that God has provided for as your husband. For every son of God, there is a woman that God has designed waiting for you. Praise the Lord. When the opportunity comes, don't miss it. Of course, I am aware that despite whatever good character you may have, there are people that have demonic problems, evil covenants and curses. Yes, there are some spirits that can covenant that your life in the area of marriage, you will not marry. It exists. But as Christians, the Lord provide the anointing for deliverance. That's why he give us grace for deliverance. Just go for deliverance. Fight it, attack it with the prayers. Meet prayers, go to the mountain, fast, meet ministers, tell them, open up, there's a spirit that is after me. Amen. You see, when a man engages you, before you know what, that spirit will use your face and go and attack the man. The man will see yourself in a dream, say, hey, and this one I want marry. Meanwhile, that is not you. It's just the spirit. If there is anybody with such spirit today, there will be a disconnection from that spirit. Whether you answer me or not, you must marry. I say you must marry. And you will marry whom you want to marry. And you will marry when you want to marry, in the name of Jesus Christ.